Am I the only one growling, Momo?
Come on, Jorge. Come on, now I feel bad.
No, we're waiting for you to growl.
Ah, I did growl.
There you go. We can't growl when you're here.
We're not allowed to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Momo doesn't let the little people growl.
Gosh. I'm such a jerk. Such a jerk.
My favorite story.
Why did I say anything?
Well, it was just like when we went to the Laker game, and I was sitting next to you, and I was so excited, and you said, "How did you get these seats?"
That was a legitimate question. This was just me being a jerk.
Oh, that was a legitimate question. Okay. Glad to know.
Yeah. So Momo, I'm glad you're here today. Because yesterday,
too.
I personally felt like Ireland was in a bad mood. Anybody with me?
Yeah, I heard you.
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah, he was not the most excited yesterday.
And we missed Jorge. Jorge, we found out yesterday. I mean, I love Lara. Lara's fantastic, huge fan. I love What You Need to Know. All that. We need Jorge for the show.
Because I make your dreams come through.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, Momo, a lot of pressure on you today.
Yeah?
Because it is your lie of the day. And we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets to see Rams versus Tennessee Sunday night at SoFi Stadium, Sunday Night Football, plus a Vote for Jorge t-shirt. Momo, we're going to be keeping track of everything you say today, and everybody should, to figure out what the lie of the day is for a great prize, a four-pack of tickets for
Sunday
Night Football.
This was like the Super Bowl preview game. That's not really going to be
that's
that
not
going to
happen, yeah.
But it was. It was until Derrick Henry got hurt.
Technically, at this moment, Tennessee is the number one seed in the AFC if the playoffs were to start today. But that's going to change now that they don't have Derrick Henry. They may have Adrian Peterson in the lineup on Sunday night.
What year is it?
Yeah, I know. 2021 for Adrian Peterson.
Do you know how excited I am about the Rams right now, you guys? I haven't been on since they traded for Von Miller, but I love when great players get inspired by other great players. Like, did you hear Aaron Donald yesterday?
No.
He was so excited.
What'd he say?
Do you have this, Jorge? I can just paraphrase it for you. It was so good. He was like, he's just grinning from ear to ear. He's like, I'm going to learn from him. He's going to make me better. He's one of the greatest leaders and defensive players of all time. I can't wait to play alongside him. And somebody said, Aaron, you're smiling like, like you're the best day of your life. And somebody goes, when's the last time you've been this happy? And Aaron says, probably when my kid was born.
Really? That big a deal?
He said, well, I'm cheesing.
It is incredibly exciting. I mean, as a Rams fan, it is incredibly exciting to know that, you know, because the one thing, you know, if you watch a lot of Rams football is they're throwing two and three guys sometimes at Aaron Donald. It now becomes impossible to do that because you've got Leonard Floyd and now you've added Von Miller to it. You've got so much pressure. They're going to get two quarterbacks much more regularly. And by the way, they were already leading the league in sacks.
I'm still a Raiders fan, okay? I'm not the person who.
Oh, here we go.
Them.
You're softening your position.
No, I'm there. I'm loving the way the Rams run their team, man.
Yeah.
I like teams that go for it. I love it. Like, you know what? You know who they're going to get next? Did you see the tweet? Von Miller's like out there recruiting OBJ.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of Odell Beckham Jr. stuff.
Hey.
You know what? I don't think it makes sense.
It doesn't. But it's the classic overkill move.
I mean, Cooper Kupp is going to get 15 targets a game, and Woods is going
to
get
they couldn't even find
10,
any room for DeSean Jackson. So
Jefferson,
it's fine.
six to eight targets a game. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think but there's a lot of people saying it. Hey, Obi, look
Von
what
Miller's
Antonio Brown did when he went
Instagrammed
to Tampa.
He Instagrammed it. Von Miller, newest Ram. I mean, look, I just like teams that go for it. And I like that they're like, forget about these draft picks. We don't need draft picks. We're going to win a Super Bowl. This is, I love it.
Did
love
you see Les Snead holding the coffee cup
so
his kids got him?
Yeah.
The
so
F the draft picks coffee cup?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
Even if they, look, if they don't win, it'll be a disappointment. I felt like the first time they went to the Super Bowl, it was a little pleasant surprise. They got there before anybody expected it, before they were really the best team. And they lost, and that was expected.
Very disappointing. I was there for that.
Disappointing, but like you weren't expecting them to beat them.
I was expecting them to win that game. Of course I was.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, we were in that game. Mm-hmm. Contrary to what people think, we were in that game. Had Brandon Cooks not dropped a touchdown pass,
you're right.
We would have been right there with them.
But this feels like they should win now.
It does.
I mean,
it
they
really
they
does.
Should be the favorites. The Rams should be the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
They, by the way, are 7.5-point favorites over Tennessee on Sunday night. They are the second pick in Vegas now to win the Super Bowl. If you're a Rams fan, Andrew Whitworth was a full participant in practice today. He's going to be at left tackle. Macy Adrian Peterson at running back in place of Derrick Henry. And let's see, Matthew Stafford, who's got a back thing. Robert Woods, limited in practice, but both expected to play Sunday night football. And a lot of people have said, hey, what about OBJ to the Rams? Tim Tebow actually came out and said that today. The idea, Max Kellerman came out and said it today. The way to salvage a career that is sort of in the tank, as OBJ's is to go and win a championship, and there's no better place to do that than the Rams. I just don't know how – they didn't have room for DeSean Jackson and his targets. I don't know how they would have room for OBJ, but, hey, I wouldn't put anything by Les Snead and the Rams.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, especially when you got Von Miller out recruiting him already. I mean, you know that's – I just think stars want to play with other stars. I feel like OBJ is going to go to the Saints because he went to LSU. His dad's from there. I mean,
I'm surprised like you don't think OBJ is going to go to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, that would be a fit. Like, that would be a misunderstood guy, go to the Raiders. Yeah, that's kind of our brand.
Plus,
right?
I mean, they had the Ruggs tragedy, and,
yeah.
You know, he's
they
gone
obviously
now.
Have a need
so
for him.
It does make some sense there. I thought DeSean Jackson would land with the Raiders, but he may not land anywhere. Meanwhile, last night at Staples Center, we've sort of been ignoring the elephant in the room.
I was trying to buy us a whole first segment where people didn't have to deal with what happened last night at Staples
Center. Disaster strikes at Staples Center.
Again!
Lakers last week blew a 26-point lead and lost OKC. Last night, they blew a 19-point lead and lost to the Thunder at home. Had they not blown these two leads to OKC, they would be 7-2. Again, it's defense. They are allowing over 107 points per game, bottom half of the league in defense. They were outscored by OKC 35-24 in the fourth quarter. They just, I don't know. You know, they had that game in hand by the time they got to halftime, and it all slipped away starting in the third quarter and had a really bad fourth quarter. How are the Lakers losing to such a bad team?
Well, if you ask Anthony Davis, it's like Oklahoma City knew what was coming.
Yeah, that's interesting. That really was interesting.
Heck of a quote.
Yeah.
My eyes, like I was watching on Spectrum, and he says in the second half, it's like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder just knew what we were running. They knew our plays. What was that
Isn't
a shot
that
at?
Well, I mean, they just played him, right?
Yeah, but still.
Still, it is a weird quote.
That
Bergman,
me,
what do you think happened?
It was just really bad defense like you're talking about. I mean, you're talking about how every team knows every team's plays. LeBron James calls out plays of every single team. Of course they knew it was coming. There's nothing new or different that you're going to be doing. So I don't know if that should stop it. The fact of the matter is that their offense and the type of players that they have should be good enough that it shouldn't matter if you know what's coming because they're going to be able to execute.
Did you just eat some of the Dutch Crunch Roll?
I did. It was really good.
What's that?
I could tell Greg was eating. He was like stumbling. You like called on him, and he had just taken a bite of this delicious sandwich I made.
It's true.
You know, we had we were all in studio on Wednesday morning.
Yeah,
and we had a blast. It was really, really fun. And I have been lobbying the station to let me go into the studio.
I know.
Some of the time, so far, I've not made any progress. I think they're pushing. I think I'm trying. There's some sort of committee we've got to go through. But it's like I'm the only one that's not in the studio
you
now.
You just need to you need to find out who you have to bribe.
You're in the studio. Sliwa and Travis are in the studio. I saw Sedano at the studio the other day.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
A lot of those are TV people.
Yeah.
So
They have access to everywhere.
So they're TV people.
I had
so
access,
they get
the whole
access
time.
To radio?
Me and Jorge, we've always been able to come in here.
But I have an official letter from Wade.
You got a letter?
Woo. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I was able to come in real early because I was doing TV the whole time. And mostly I was in a studio, like just by myself.
Yeah, right.
And it was kind of like depressing. I would come in and there was literally no one there. I had to set up my own shot. It was like I didn't see a person. I saw the security guard and that's it.
So let's try and figure something out. Momo, let's try and figure out something for Mason. How are we going to get him into the studio nonstop? Like, what is the thing that is going to allow him to be here daily? That's what we need to figure out.
You canceled your internet, Mason.
Oh, that's
877-710-ESPN, 877-710.
Yeah, no, it's a very good idea. You know, I almost said I had an internet outage today because I knew Momo was going to be there. I was like, oh, let's get an internet outage today. Come on, Spectrum, suck for me. Spectrum generally sucks when I don't need them to, but today, unfortunately, they were working. Do you know the? By the way, last night, that's just an unacceptable.
Oh,
loss.
Terrible! So, you know, it's one thing if it happens to you once, but it's reminding me of. Oh, I don't want to do this to Frank Vogel. Okay, this is not his fault. This is not Frank Vogel's fault. Let me say this over and over. Okay.
No.
But there was a year when Mike Brown was the coach and. There was a lack of buy-in, and they had a bunch of losses just like this where they would build these huge leads, and then they would take their foot off the gas, and they would lose. And a lot of it was they were incorporating that new system that he was running, and it was the first year that he was there.
It was the first year, not the year he got fired after
four games.
Yeah.
It was the first year he was there. They were changing over from Phil Jackson's triangle offense to whatever Mike was running. It wasn't the Princeton offense. It was the offense he ran the first year. And they just were just relying on Kobe. And I remember him saying, well, you know, we just need Kobe to carry us until we can figure out how we're going to play. And Kobe would go for 40 and then they would blow 25-point leads. It's not working right now. Like they're just when LeBron's there, they're okay because LeBron makes the system work. But when LeBron is not there, it falls apart at some point in a game, whether it's the third quarter, the fourth quarter. And they've been getting by because they're playing terrible teams right now.
Yeah. I mean, and starting tomorrow night in Portland. Mm-hmm. Portland's off to a slow start, but still, it's still a good team. Monday, Charlotte. Wednesday's Miami. So you've got real teams coming in. Charlotte's been really good with LaMelo Ball, who I think is going to be a superstar in this league, much to the delight of his dad, who I'm sure is going to be at the game Monday night.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're going to get to the end of the year and we're going to be talking about seeding and it may be for home court advantage. And we're going to say, God, if we had only beaten Oklahoma City earlier in the year, we might have had home court advantage. You know, something like that's going to happen. And by the way, Westbrook was terrible late in that game. Mm-hmm. Just terrible. He had an unbelievably bad turnover late in the game. He let Lou Dort to the basket. That was his man who scored on that wide open dunk. He took a terrible clank a shot at the buzzer that would have, I think it would have tied the game or won the game? Tied the game.
Yep.
Would have tied the game when Carmelo was potentially open and had shot well all night long. That was a terrible final 2 minutes for Russell Westbrook.
And that's the second time that he's taken a game-winning three and absolutely banked it, and it was awful. Missed.
Yeah.
Why is
a total clank.
Why is he the guy that's taking the last second shot and from 3-point range? No, from 3-point range.
Because Russell is like Kobe. He's like, I'm the best option.
No.
I'm always the best option.
Yeah, well, Frank Vogel said afterwards, not. He said he's not the best option. It wasn't a good shot. That was not the shot we were looking for, is what Vogel said. And it shouldn't be the shot. That's not what he does. Carmelo Anthony was across the way behind the arc. He would have been the guy to take the three-point shot. He was hot all night long, and Westbrook forced one.
He forced it, and that was... Everything, when I watch Russ right now, I just think that he's trying too hard. And that's always, he's always trying really hard. But there's a trying really hard and there's a trying too hard. And I think it's coming from a good place. I think he really wants to succeed in LA with his friends and family here. This is a huge opportunity for him to play on a team that can win. And he doesn't want to mess this up, so he's trying really hard. It's come out twice in bad ways against his former team, where there's a little extra edge there. But, I mean, they didn't lose the game because Westbrook made two bad plays down the stretch. That's not why they lost. That was part of it.
Three. Just give him credit for the all three shot. A
turnovers, wide open
Lou Dort and a bad
three. All three of those.
Yeah.
Those were contributing factors, but they lost because they fell apart.
Of course.
They were up 19 points in that game.
No, they play bad team defense.
Bad. It's just, Frank Vogel is one of the best defensive coaches in the game. He runs a really good system. They have Anthony Davis in the middle. That should be enough. And if you get buy-in from everybody else, if you get, defense is about effort and buy-in. You don't have to be a fantastic defensive player to play a good team defensive game. You don't. You can be middle of the road, and then if you have an elite player like Anthony Davis on your team in the middle, then you can be top five, top 10.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, it's they're just not buying into the system yet, and they're not buying into it consistently. And I want to give them time, but this was the fact that they're 5-4 after what is probably the easiest opening 10-game stretch.
Lots of home games, lots of bad teams.
The NBA set them up to succeed. They gave them five easy games right in a row. Two against Houston, two against Oklahoma City, one against Cleveland. Should have been five wins.
Yep. All right, so... Yeah, what is going on? We'll take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. This is, and I consider this to be a pretty disastrous loss. Pretty disastrous. I mean, the stakes aren't necessarily the highest, right, because it's so early in the year. But I'm telling you, late in the year, you're going to look at this and say, damn, had we only beaten Oklahoma City. Damn, had we not absolutely collapsed twice against one of the worst teams in the league, we would be in a better spot. 877-710-ESPN. Plus, Momo, you suggested a guest today, and we could not have dismissed it faster. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I didn't even hear a reply from you.
Yeah, we will explain it coming
up next
for
you. I was like, sorry, I tried.
Yeah, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And Momo is in for Ireland today. Ireland's on his way to Portland with the Lakers, where they will play the Trailblazers tomorrow night. It'll be the game after they collapse against Oklahoma City, which was last night at Staples Center. Let's go to Devin in Los Angeles. Devin, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Mason and Momo, happy freaking Friday.
You too,
man. I love the combination, man. There's no combination like it. Besides you in Ireland, or when Ireland's in the mix. Now, my issue with the Lakers, and there are a lot of them, get that out the way. The Lakers, number one, really miss and are going to miss former assistant coach, who's now the head coach of the Mavericks, Jason Kidd. I think his presence as a veteran championship point guard in these times, at this part of the year, Frank does not have the voice nor the experience that Jason Kidd has. That's number one. Number two, Vogel is also supposed to be a defensive-minded coach.
Yes.
Now, in the these two horrible losses to OKC, the Lakers have played horrible defense. Westbrook is limited. This can't be all Westbrook's fault either. He even though he's a big part of it, he's limited offensively. But that doesn't negate the fact that Frank Vogel is supposed to be a defensive czar, a defensive-minded coach, and these boys are not playing defense, and they don't look motivated at all.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's take that sort of one at a time. Momo, Jason Kidd lead. First of all, let me defend Frank Vogel. Mm-hmm. Frank Vogel is... he has been there. He's been there with us to win a championship in 2020. I mean, he is a very experienced and successful NBA head coach. What he preaches is team defense. And like last year, we didn't start out as one of the top five defenses in the league. We slowly climbed to that ranking over a period of time. I'm assuming that this defense is going to round into form at some point, although I don't really like the pieces. We're missing, obviously, KCP and Caruso, guys who are really good defenders. Do we have the pieces to build a good defense, Momo?
Not exactly. I mean, look, you don't have KCP and Caruso. I mean, those guys were really good defensive players. They could be all NBA defenders. I mean, there were a lot of people who actually voted for one of those two guys last year because the Lakers had a top two defense. Those are big losses. Like, you can't underestimate that. But I really, remember the first couple of years in the league, nobody thought Kyle Kuzma was a great defensive player, right?
Correct.
He became a pretty good defensive player.
Played really well last year. Yeah,
he played in that system. Like, it's, you don't have to be a great defensive player to play on a great team defense. You just need to learn how to play team defense, where you buy into the coverages, you buy into the scheme and the system, and they don't look connected out there. Defense, to me, is about, it's like synchronized swimming.
It's about effort and connectedness.
Yeah, effort and connectedness. They do not have that right now. I see some effort. I see people trying. They don't have the connectedness. Sometimes you say, okay, that'll come with time, that'll come with study, but it just, maybe it won't come. Like, I don't know how long you have to give it to see where you say, okay, it's going to come or not come. I see Carmelo Anthony out there having fairly decent defensive games sometimes. Like, he's not a great defender, but he can play good team defensive. And I think Frank Stevens said he's really bought in defensively, and I think that's hopefully going to be contagious throughout the rest of the team. But there's also an element of, they don't have three of the guys right now that you were counting on to execute that system.
Right. Ariza, THT, and...
None.
Although Nunn's not traditionally been a great defender.
No, but he's one of your young guys that you're hoping buys in. I want to look at the individual defensive stats on the Lakers to see who's the biggest liabilities out there.
Well, Malik Monk is one of them.
Yep.
Rajon Rondo is one of them.
Well, that's, yeah.
Avery Bradley, good defender. Malik Monk, no. Carmelo Anthony, not a good defender traditionally.
But playing pretty decently in that system.
Ellington's not a defender. He's coming back.
I think there was an expectation that THT and Ariza would be your perimeter defenders. That you could count on. Now, THT has some growing to do in that area too, but he has all the tools to be a good defensive player. I want to give them time, but I don't think it's hard to say give them time when you're losing to teams you should beat with your eyes closed.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Costa Mesa. Chris, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Mesa and Momo, so great to talk with you.
You too, Chris.
I can't take any more supporting of Russell Westbrook and his energy. He just puts energy in to pack the stat line. He doesn't close out on defense. He doesn't rotate. He doesn't pass the ball in those key moments. He just hurls up a brook every time. There's no humbleness to his game. Pass it to the guy who's hot.
That's interesting. Well, he had a terrible final 2 minutes of that game.
Yeah.
Terrible final 2 minutes. He left Lu Dort completely open, left his man, left him open for a dunk. He had a terrible turnover right at the Lakers basket, right at the baseline, where nobody really touched him. He just totally lost control of the ball, and he clanked a three at the very end of the game. The final 2 minutes of that game, actually 1 minute of that game, pretty indefensible. He now leads the league. Now, Malik Andrews said this today, so I'm gonna run with it because I have a tendency to believe everything she says on NBA Today.
Yeah, she probably got it from one of our incredible stat guys that are like my cheat code.
Exactly. Yeah. She says that Russell Westbrook, that's his fifth turnover in crunch time, most in the league.
Mm. That sounds like a guy who's trying too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, look, here's the issue with Westbrook. When you're in a situation where you don't want to mess it up, Mace, like when you're a little nervous and it's a big stage. And
like me, before every single show.
Every show? Is that how you are? Still?
Oh, yeah. Every
after
show
all
I'm
these
nervous.
Years?
Yeah, every show.
Good. That shows that you still care and you're not.
I definitely still care.
Yeah, I like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a situation like that, there's some pressure on you. Okay.
Yes.
And a lot of times when you're a veteran, you've been doing this a long time, like, I don't get as nervous before a TV hit as I used to. I mean, I used to not be able to sleep and I'd have dreams about it and I was like shaking, I could barely talk. Now I'm like, I show up 2 minutes before the show and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And some of that is just veteran calm.
But Momo, Westbrook is doing this. He's been doing this for what? 10, 12 years?
I know, but
15
but his,
years.
His default, and here's, I'll get to my point. His default when he's nervous or when there's a big stage and he has to rise to the moment and get himself going the way you do when you have to climb the hill every day.
Yes, climb the mountain.
His default is to get more aggressive, to try harder, to push farther, right? And whereas you and I have probably learned at some point in our career to take a deep breath,
yep,
to center ourselves, to think about one moment or one phrase that we're going to just say. Like I have a way that I do television hits. Say it, support it, repeat it. You have 1 point, probably. It's just a like one answer. Make your point. Support it with a fact. Repeat it so it sticks with people. That's it. We have our little things. I don't necessarily like jump around and go harder because I think that messes it up. I think that makes me talk too fast. I get nervous. I confuse my points. I try to jam in 25 things and nobody understands any of them. We have our little adaptive strategies. And I think Russ just needs to relax. Like, he just needs to relax. And there's a full Russell Westbrook experience that involves turnovers and bad shots at the end of games anyway. But when you have that, and then you add in the pressure of trying to do really well in his hometown in L.A., and
right.
especially when LeBron's not out there, and he's got to rise to the occasion, and he's playing his former team, it was just a little too much. Just went too hard.
It was too hard last night. That one, I mean, I hope these losses don't come back to haunt them later in the year when they're playing for home court advantage.
They will. I mean, this is the spot in the schedule they're supposed to rack up wins.
Yep.
You want to be a top four team? This is where you do it, because all their hard games – all the national TV games.
And all the road games are in the second half. We're backloaded in terms of tough games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now's the time you should be making hay, knock off the bad teams so you can prepare for the second half of the season. All right, coming up next for you, Momo, what we're going to be doing for Veterans Day next week,
Ooh.
The guest that we had no interest in, and how do you psych yourself up? We were kind of talking about that a minute ago. We'll get to that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, what's going on? It is Friday. It's Effin' Friday. Effin' Friday. Mama, loosen up a little bit.
I thought I was pretty loose.
Yeah, no, you're doing fine.
Yeah, pretty
loose. Yes, Wednesday was a really loose show.
Yeah.
Bergman, have we made any progress on getting me into the studio? Your management?
Like semi-kinda-ish
No,
management?
You're associate program director, aren't you? Assistant program director.
Yeah, that's exactly what my title is. But no, I do not make these decisions.
Okay.
I have as much say over this as Jorge does, as Momo does.
You know, I feel like getting you back into the studio is harder than me getting the Tesla Powerwall. It's been like 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm on
a
waiting list. Somebody every once in a while sends us an email. And then we're like, hey, when are you coming out? Like, our power goes off all the time. And
so,
we never hear anything.
So, Momo, we invited you to our Veterans Day event next Wednesday. You couldn't make it, I guess, right?
Oh, is that what that was? He didn't tell me it was the Veterans
Day
event.
Yeah, no, it's our Veterans Day event. It's at Bastards Canteen.
Yeah.
Biggest event of the year, downtown Downey, celebrating our Marines, our veterans, and our community. It's the 9th annual 246th Marine Corps Birthday and Veterans Day Bash. It is Wednesday. There will be a live broadcast with Mason in Ireland and Sedano and Cap from 1 to 5:30 at Bastards Canteen, 11.
You all right? It's
11045 Downey Avenue. It's 21 plus.
You can do this.
Live music. Beer garden. Exclusive Bastard menu and craft cocktail bar, Marine Corps cake cutting ceremony, and more. Event will be closing down the main street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. It'll be held outside Bastard's Canteen, so that's where we are next Wednesday. And, you know, I had an idea. Do you know about the Racing Stripe Pit?
Yes, that was really funny. Are you all right there with your – you were bleeding?
So Wednesday, we tried – the idea was we're going to do a team bonding thing, right? So me, Jorge, and Bergman, we're all going to get a racing stripe in our eyebrows. So I brought one shaver. Jorge tried to shave it in, couldn't. Then Laura comes in with this little X-Acto knife. And basically,
a knife?
Well, what would you call it?
I mean,
it's a blade.
Yeah,
it was a razor
blade. Yeah. It was a razor blade. It had like some ridges on it, but for the most part,
it was a razor blade.
Yeah, it was a razor blade.
And it was a hair trimming razor blade.
Was
it electric?
She cut my eyebrow without actually cutting any brow. She just had cut the skin under my eyebrow.
Oh, my God.
So I was bleeding. So I was thinking there must be, Bergman, somebody in Downey who's got an actual shaver, who's an actual barber.
Any barbers.
Yeah.
Who could come out and officially give us... a racing
don't you
stripe.
Just use an electric razor, like an electric beard trimmer or something, and
that's
just
it,
do
need.
A line?
Yeah.
I cut Nevin's hair that way.
When are you back in studio, Mace?
Because
I can bring one in.
Who the hell knows? What do you mean? You're just rubbing it in now?
So I can bring in the blade or a razor or whatever.
I thought that's what we had.
No, you had what you had was a razor.
Like a shaver. No,
yeah,
you don't
you
do
can't
like
do
that.
It has to be a clipper, like a hair trim clipper.
Yeah.
That's what I have.
I've gotten pretty good with that. Like in the during the pandemic, I started
you
cutting.
You really cut Nevin's hair?
Every time.
Nevin has racing stripes?
I've been doing it. No, not racing stripes. I've done that with, I did that once. I gave him a line in the side and he was like, yeah, don't do that again. But it's his hair is really easy. Like you just use the three on the top and the one on the bottom. And then I got a little tricky because he wanted it shorter than the one. You know, there's like different attachments that you put on so you have different lengths. And so I turn it to the zero, but I turn it upside down. So there's it's kind of like a half. So I'm like kind of tricky now.
Yeah.
I got skills. I got barber
skills.
As
a kid, my mom always cut my hair.
I'll do it for
you.
Do you want me to bring in? Do you want me to bring? You know what? I cut Daniel's hair and it is awful. I could be really good.
Well, you're not selling yourself. I'm not.
No, he's screaming the entire time. So I'm just trying not to maim him. I mean,
didn't your mom cut? No, I don't know. I think it's different for girls. Did your mom cut your hair?
Yeah. And all the pictures of me are just bangs.
Yeah, my mom cut my hair. What about you, Bergman? What about you, Jorge?
I've always gone to a place. Did you have a bowl put on your head?
I did have a bowl put on my head.
Yes,
I sure
you did.
Oh.
Didn't you? I love the fact that you had a bowl put on your head.
It was a bowl haircut. There is no question about it.
If you want me to do a racing trip, I'll bring in the clippers. Tell me when you're back in the studio next.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
again, rubbing
she's
it
throwing
in.
Shots at two mates.
Again, rubbing it in. Who knows? Who the hell knows?
I mean, you could drive to the valley.
While Daniel's screaming, he's like, no, don't cut my hair.
No, I mean, literally, the kid hates getting his hair cut. It's so.
I mean, like, all kids do.
I know. They just hate it. And I feel so bad all the time, but I have to do it.
Hey, you know, I have clippers. I cut.
You brought in the clippers last time, Mace.
I groom Fredo.
Yeah. That's how you got to do it.
He's dumb.
Yeah, I could use the exact same clippers and successfully get a racing stripe.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I think cutting someone's hair is all about confidence.
Yeah.
Whether it's irrational confidence or not. Like, my mom, during the pandemic, decided to cut my hair, and she was all excited. She's like, I watched a video, and I brought this attachment. She started to cut my hair, and I was like, and then the first thing she says is, I think it might be a little shorter than you want. I was like, oh, okay. But you were so confident. And then she showed me where it was shorter and it was like in back. And I was like, well, I guess if it has to be in back, you know, like I guess it's going to be too short. And I was like, you know, just let me do it. So I just cut my hair during the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. So the promise I made there as we were getting ready for commercials, was, I would tell everybody the guest that we didn't want. We got a very nice text from Momo this morning. It said, there's some big announcement by the mayor. Do you want the mayor on?
Well, I'll tell you what the announcement was.
Okay, good. So, see, now we don't even need the mayor. You're going to tell us what the announcement was anyway.
Yeah, the announcement was LA got $160 million extra because they delayed the Olympics from 24 to 28, okay, because they let Paris go first.
Right, Paris went first.
So LA has decided to take the money that they got for delaying the games by 4 years and put them into youth sports programs around the city. That's pretty cool.
Here's what I hear. Wah, 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 wah. I do not want Eric Garcetti on the show. I don't want to hear from politicians. Wah, wah. That's what I hear when politicians talk.
You know what it was? So, Momo, you asked if we wanted to have him on, and I said, no, thank you. And then I got another text from somebody saying, do you want to have the mayor on? I said, no, thank you. And then they gave that. Then they gave the mayor another my email address, so then I had to get emailed asking if I wanted to have the mayor on. I said, no, thank you.
Nothing against the mayor, but that's what all I hear.
I get it. You know, he's... Well, first of all, he's quarantining in Scotland or wherever he is, right? He's not even, he can't even come to the event.
Isn't he the ambassador to India or something?
Well, he's
like going to
take
now?
Over eventually, yeah.
So here's, this is 100% true. So my congressperson is Representative Karen Bass.
Karen Bass is awesome, yeah.
And she is going to run for mayor. Now, if she vacates her congressional seat, I am going to run for that congressional seat.
Really?
Yes, I am.
That's a lot of work.
Wah, wah, wah,
you know
wah.
What? I think that you actually just violated FCC standards.
No. I haven't started
campaigning. You have to give equal time.
But I will run as an independent, and I will vote only for things that make sense. That is my platform.
Okay. That makes sense to you.
That's my platform. All right, coming up next for you, we will spin the wheel of questions. Wheel of questions, Momo, you never know what's going to come up. I have no idea what is on the wheel of questions.
Yeah.
Also, keep paying attention for Momo's lie. You know, she tells some rambling stories.
I do that more on days that it's my lie because I want to give you a lot of options.
If you can figure out what Momo is lying about and call in at 3:30, you will win a 4-pack of tickets to be there Sunday night at SoFi Stadium for Sunday Night Football, Rams versus the Tennessee Titans and the debut of Vaughn Miller. Keep paying attention to everything Momo says. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, what is up? Momo just asked me what I'm doing today. I'm after the show, I'm going to see Eternals, which is the new Marvel
movie.
The amazing thing is Kumail Nanjiani. Do you know who he is, Kumail Nanjiani?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He got totally ripped out for this role. He is, and you know, you don't think of him as being, you know, ripped, but he's completely ripped for it. He had a trainer, and they handled all his food, and he basically had to go away to training camp and get ready for this thing.
I need to do that. I need a role that I got to get in really good shape for.
You know who needs to do that?
Huh.
Bergman.
As I just ate a sandwich that Momo made me that
was
delicious.
Good. Wasn't it good?
It was so good. That bread was delicious. What kind of bread was it?
Dutch crunch rolls. Okay, so you know, like yesterday I ordered Ike sandwiches on Postmates.
Yep.
And you know, on Postmates now they have this thing like, hey, do you want to add a chocolate cookie to your order? Hey, do you want, you know, like there's like three things if you want. It's like being in the checkout line at the supermarket. They like throw these items that you just can't say no to. And one of the items that you can add from Ike's is a bag of Dutch crunch rolls.
Mm.
I was like, well, I don't really need that, but I want that.
Sure.
So I ordered it, and like, there's like six Dutch Crunch sandwich rolls. I'm like, oh, I gotta eat these in the next couple of days. I'm just sandwich city.
Yeah, it was
so
National
good.
Sandwich Day this week. Actually.
Was it really?
Yeah, I went to Bay Cities and got a sandwich. Bay Cities in Santa Monica,
it's
one of the best
stuff.
Sandwiches in town. So actually, Joseph is online from Montclair. He says he's from a barber school.
Ooh.
Joseph, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, Steve.
Hey Joseph.
How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm our marketing director at Salon Success Academy. We have three campuses with a barbering school, with barbering students out here in the Inland Empire and then West Covina. One of our students can come in, or a couple of our students can come in and give you those racing stripes you want on your eyebrows.
Oh, that's a great idea. So they have training in this particular skill, right?
Yeah, so we have some barbers that have about 1,200 hours of training right now. They graduate at 1,500 hours. So I could bring in some of the advanced ones if you go up there and give you that racing stripe.
Okay, we'll do. How popular are racing stripes right now? Is that like a whole course at barber school?
It's not a course, but you know, certain clients come in and ask for it. So whatever clients want, whatever's in demand, you got to give.
Okay, hang on a second. I'm going to give get Greg to get your information.
Hold on. Hey,
that's a very good option. Well, what's
I have
that,
a question. Sorry. Hey, Joseph, do you guys do designs and stuff on the hair too or no?
Yes, and we have the West Covina campus. I know that's not far from you, Horo.
Yeah, it is.
Come in one day.
Yeah, for sure.
Or we can go out there, and when we come in, we can give a haircut, give you a design, or
yeah, I want the Niners logo on my head.
Oh, no.
All right, Joseph, thanks, man.
Thanks, Joseph.
All
appreciate
right.
it, man. Hang on a sec. Hang
of
on a
course.
Sec.
Of course. Keep the show up. It's great.
Awesome, man. Thanks. We're going to do the MegaCast. It's a week from Monday, I think. A week from Monday, November the 15th, I think, for the Niners-Rams game. Momo, you're going to dunk into the MegaCast, right?
Yeah, I'll pop in. It's the same night as Lakers-Bulls, so that's a really big game. So I'll pop in for a quarter.
So the idea is that you can watch the Rams-Niners game and – we will be on your computer commenting on it as we go along. It'll be me, Jorge, Bergman, Ireland. Momo's going to dunk in. Ireland's going to dunk in. We should have one special guest dunk in.
Who do you want it to be?
Let's see.
And we're going to only do this for a half, by the way.
Get
we're doing this for a
dunk
half.
In.
Yeah, we're only doing this for the first half.
Right. Oh, okay.
Because the Laker game.
Because the Lakers
yeah, that's
game
right.
starts.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll think about that. Who would be a good guest to dunk
O'Shea
in?
O'Shea can come
O'Shea
in.
Would be perfect.
He for sure would do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. O'Shea's all in. Have you seen his new show?
I haven't seen it yet because
really
I've been
good.
Behind on everything. I'm starting to catch up on Succession. And
what about Curb?
You know what? I watch that a little, not as much as...
You're not a big Curb person?
I tried watching it during the pandemic. I liked it, but there's so many other things that I'm behind on that are more current.
Succession is killer, though.
Succession. I still got to catch up on Billions. I mean, it's just, there's too much good TV right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. All right, it's time to spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around, you can bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for a full cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, Jorge, give her a spin. Okay. What do you do if you see someone in public with toilet paper stuck to their shoe? Somebody you don't know.
Mm.
So you see somebody in public, let's say at a Lakers game.
Yeah.
Or at SoFi Stadium. Somebody you don't know, and they've got toilet paper stuck to their shoe. What do you do?
So I am a big truth person. I would want to know if I had toilet paper on my shoe. So I tell them, even if it's somebody I don't even know, I would tell them. But one time I did that, and it was not appreciated. It was
really?
Well, it's actually a colleague. And I saw them with the toilet paper.
Yeah, who was it?
Name names?
Can we name names?
Yeah, who was it?
I always like to know the names.
Stephen
should
A?
I name names?
Was it Stephen A?
I have to think if I should name
John
names.
Ireland.
Okay. It was Brian Windhorst.
Brian Windhorst. Okay,
yes.
Good.
And walking around the building, and I just decide, like, I'm going to, of course I'm going to tell him, okay? I have to say, like.
He's your friend.
He's my friend. You don't want,
right.
I mean, I would, please tell me. If I have something like that, please tell me. I want to know. And there was a little embarrassment there. It was like sort of, it wasn't like a long conversation. Normally I would think like, you'd laugh it off. You'd be like, oh, thanks, you know, thanks, appreciate that. It was like, okay, whatever.
Said nothing. So
yeah, it was like,
nothing.
Oh, okay, whatever.
So you would walk up to a stranger and say,
oh, yeah.
Hey, you've got toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't say, hey, you got toilet paper. I'd say, hey, check your shoe.
Check your shoe. All right.
Yeah.
Bergman, what about you?
I would try and be slick about it if possible. Like, if it's hanging out, you can kind of, like, walk up behind it and just put your foot on the back of it. And
oh,
that
you
might...
would actually try to physically remove
no.
the toilet paper yourself?
Well, no, with my
knowing?
Foot.
No.
Not reaching down. Like,
what
you
a
put
weirdo.
Your
don't
you
do
put,
that.
No, you put
That's
your foot
weird.
Down. No,
yeah.
it's not. You,
you
put your foot down. No, like, you're not talking to them.
Now you're going to get toilet paper on your foot?
No, you're not talking to them.
But you're going to get too close. First of all, not social distancing.
Well, no, yeah.
Second
right,
of all,
you're wearing a mask.
Like, I'd be like, what are you doing, bro?
Well, like no,
what are you doing?
Like, if you say, like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, and then you kind of put your foot down, and as they walk away, you,
that would
you just kind of push
far
them.
Weirder yeah. than just saying, check your foot.
Hey, check your foot.
Yeah,
I agree.
Then you don't
Bergman.
Even have to need, then they don't even need to know about it. Then they don't have the embarrassment.
That's weird and creepery.
You guys are weird and creepery.
All right, Jorge, what about you?
I would just be like, hey, you know, I got to tell you something real quick. And then I go up to their ear or whatever next to them. I step on the
that's
toilet paper thing in, and that's it. Walk away.
Go up to their ear.
No,
okay,
not their ear.
You know
but
what?
Like,
this is
next
level.
I go close
this is
to
the
their
next
ear.
Level question.
Listen. Hey,
toilet paper is one thing.
On your
what do you do if somebody needs to examine their zipper?
XYZ.
Do you actually, would you say that to a stranger?
I'll
that's
be
like a little bit more, I think.
I put this in the none of my business category. If you've got toilet paper on your shoe, that is your
really?
Business. That is not my business. If your zipper is down, that is on you.
Oh,
that
that's
is kind
of my
me.
Business because you can see some things sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but
I
that's
don't want to see those things.
I'm the guy that says nothing and sort of laughs about it.
Jerk. In what if I told you? Would you be like Brian Windhorst and say like, oh, thanks, whatever?
I said that to Jorge in the
like
break.
It was not cool.
I said that to Jorge in the break. I was like, when you had this question, I said, point and laugh. He's like, no, don't say that.
No, don't do that.
No, I kind of laugh about it.
Right.
But if somebody told you you had toilet paper on your shoe, you wouldn't appreciate it?
I'd be like, ooh, oops.
Yeah, I would appreciate it. I'm just not the guy who would say, hey, hey, dude, toilet paper.
So if we see it on your shoes, we're not even going to tell you.
Don't even tell me. Don't even tell me. That's fine. I'll never make that mistake. All right. There is your wheel of questions for today.
The question is, how does it end up in your shoe? Like, why?
It's just floating around on the bathroom. Well,
no, you guys just killed my bin. Never mind.
Oh, you don't want me to. That was not a literal question. I get it.
So, Mama, I said something. Oh, actually, let's give you a couple of minutes on this. Not Stepdad Leo. Saw you on NBA Today, I think yesterday.
Yeah.
And said you were fantastic on the subject of Robert Sarver and the big scandal, the story written by Baxter Holmes, the 70 people corroborating the fact that it's a hostile workplace and Sarver has used the N-word and all that kind of stuff. Do you, first of all, your initial reaction, and do you think Sarver survives it?
I think he will survive it, but it's it he I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure. Because it's going to – normally in cancel culture, when something bad happens, there's a smoking gun, right? Like there's tapes, there's a quote that goes viral that is so awful you can't believe it and you can't live it down. There wasn't that in this story. There were some really damaging anecdotes and some really damaging things that when you take them all together, he should be out. But
I hate the term cancel culture. Yeah. Like, if you do a bunch of bad stuff, it's a consequences.
Yeah, there's
situation.
Consequences. Yeah, you're right. But I think in this one, I mean, like, if you're just going to compare it to Donald Sterling, okay? With Donald Sterling, there was a tape. Everybody heard it. And I was report on that. What if I told you?
What if I told you?
That I did a 30 for 30 podcast on this.
Oh, yeah, we know.
I know. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you going to do a 30 for 30 on Robert Sarver?
Maybe. We'll see how this plays out. What I don't. Because this isn't going to this is going to be a long investigation because he denies everything, and it's probably going to take 4 to 6 months, and then people will have their reactions. And so sometimes when your outrage is delayed, it doesn't necessarily translate into actions. But there was a couple things that he did not deny, and the part that really got me was, did you see the anecdote about how he pants some 25-year-old staffer in front of 60 people?
Right.
He pulled his pants down in front of people. He was doing the ALS ice bucket challenge.
Yep.
And he didn't deny it. He said, oh, I apologize to him. I thought it was a joke. And this kid was 25 and he's standing there. The owner of the team pulls his pants down in front of 60 people. And to me, the thing that that's what spoke to me of this is an organizational mess because none of those 60 people did anything. And, one thing I learned in covering Sterling and all this stuff was there's working in the NBA is a dream job for so many people. There's only 30 franchises, only a limited amount of jobs. And that puts you in a position where when bad things happen, sometimes you don't want to say anything because it jeopardizes your job. And
yep.
the poor guy who went on the record, kudos to him for going on the record with a story like that. He's like, what am I supposed to say? I mean, I guess I could just laugh that off, but it wasn't funny. It made him super uncomfortable. Everybody else saw it and was laughing at him. And what are those people supposed to say? Because it's their boss doing it. And that's like classic workplace bad behavior where the boss doesn't realize that he has power over everybody else and nobody can say anything. And so there were so many incidents like that. They had me on to talk about the misogyny in the story. So there was racism and misogyny.
Sure.
The female executive who was asked by another executive how many of her coworkers she slept with. The executive was appeared to be intoxicated and nothing ever happened. I mean, you don't do that. That is not acceptable.
Well, see,
behavior.
That's a culture that starts at the top.
Top down. Because there's no accountability.
You empower other people to behave badly.
Correct. And in Baxter's story, I thought some of the strongest stuff was at the end about the HR department there where they flat out told people.
Don't bother complaining.
Yeah, don't bother complaining. We just leave and sue us. And they were almost happy when people sued, so at least they get some money for their trouble. I mean, that is awful. That's awful. And
yeah, I mean, when you feel like you can't go to the HR department, that is a terrible.
Yeah, because the HR department
situation.
Works for the owner, who is the source of a lot of this bad behavior. And so, yes, all of this is still in the allegedly. He has denied it. We need to note that every single time.
But 70 people.
70 people and several on-the-record people. And I always thought about this with Sterling. Did we do a bad job in the media of not reporting stuff on him earlier? Did
the answer is yes, we did. Terrible job because we all knew.
Well, but here's another thing. There were a lot of stories about Sterling. There were.
Yeah.
There was a great ESPN The Magazine deep dive on a lot of this stuff. There was Mark Spears wrote a story about him heckling Baron Davis.
Right,
there
and we did nothing. We nothing actually made a joke out of that heckling Baron Davis.
Yeah. And a lot of it is that it's done in separate occasions in these separate anecdotes. And I always concluded, why was the tape the thing that took him down? I think it's because we could all hear him say it.
Sure.
And sometimes it takes a tape and that cell phone justice quality.
But make no mistake, and when I say we, I mean, everybody in LA sports media, did a terrible job on uncovering what Donald Sterling, who he was all along.
And it's also a credit to guys like Earl Watson, Corliss Williamson, the young staffer I mentioned, David Bodskin, who went on the record, put their name on it, and that's not always easy to do. Most people would just not want the trouble. They don't necessarily want to be a face of a scandal, of accusing some powerful person of that. They still want to work in the league. So credit to everyone who spoke to Baxter on or off the record, because it's not easy to do.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Aaron Rodgers, a bunch of reaction
there you
from
go.
Aaron Rodgers. on the world finding out that he has not been vaccinated. Ooh. We got that coming up for you. Plus, Momo doesn't like everybody at the station.
What?
Yeah, you don't like everybody that works here, Momo.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I will explain
what are you doing to me?
Coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.